Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. We're joining you live tonight. We got a special song for you. We're going to send this out to all of our WWRB listeners around the radio network, whether you're listening to us on 3.185 or whether that you are listening to us on the live stream tonight, coming in very good around the world. We hope and we trust and pray that this song will be a blessing to you.
Hallelujah.
Ladies and gentlemen, hallelujah. Tonight's message, part three of a man and a woman's place in the kingdom. Now, we're talking about headship here, and tonight we're going to introduce you to headship company concerning man and his place in the body. We spent 2 hours on a woman because she's the weaker vessel, so we think that she needs more of the word, which is the rod of correction underneath the man, that she's in headship. And so this last hour, we're ending the series tonight. It's a three-part series. If you'd like to have the first two and the third part tonight concerning man, you can do so by simply ordering it from Pastor Buddy. Now, you can go to our website And you can get these messages already loaded into our website. That's www.oneyahweh.com. And that's the Shepherd's Call website. And you can go to the sermons, and they're already archived. Brother Bob has got the first two up, and the third one will be up probably sometime tomorrow. And we bless you in the name of Yahweh tonight. And if you're headship, if you're a man tonight, we want you to get your thinking cap on tonight. Get your word, get your Bible, and we're going to give you the Ten Commandments for a man. And we're going to say, "Thus saith Yahweh." Now, there is a proper headship, and then there's a improper headship. Man, mostly, is improper. He's out of order. Now, he's not out of order with the woman as much as he is with Yahweh. He's out of order with Yahweh. But when he gets out of order with Yahweh, he has to be out of order to himself, and then to his mate, and then to his children. So, you see, it's very important for man to measure up to the measurements that Yahweh has got for a man. Now, the Bible said that Yahweh made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions. Now, where in headship, when a man takes a wife, if you're treating your wife just like you courted her. In other words, remember how you courted your wife and how you loved her and how she was the most precious thing. And then when she has your children, let's say, and when the newness of the marriage wears off and the rigors and the hardships set in to headship, do you break and bend and get discouraged and start looking at your wife as the one that brought all this about? Or do you consider her and do you basically have the headship under command? If you believe Yahweh, if you will trust Him, all things work together to the good to them that love Yahweh. Now, let me show you a dysfunctional headship man in the home and in their life, in their business, in their journey. You know, they two shall be as one. Not, you see, just because you're headship and you have to answer to Yahweh, you shouldn't look down on your wife because she's not so much as under you as she is beside you because she was actually taken from your side. So Yahweh looks at both of you, but in a divine order of headship. Now, here's the dysfunctional headship. A man barks out or gives orders without asking or permitting questions. He thinks his wife is under him and shouldn't be informed of his decisions. Well, that's dysfunctional. And you're asking for trouble. You may rule over, and you may insist and use your will over, but proper headship is, you remember how you courted her, and how much you loved her, and how many of those sweet things you whispered in her ear until you got her, and she said yes. And but if you're headship and you're full of the love of the Holy Spirit, if you ask a question, he will seek to hear you. And if she suggests alternatives and desires, and she offers input, then he's going to hear that. And that's ruling together, side by side. Now, for those who are dysfunctional, they make demands. Husbands are very good at that. They dish out directives. They lay down the law. They crack the whip. But they don't delegate, or they don't lead by example. A husband should lead by example. He should be kind and very generous. He should be patient and understanding. As Peter says, giving them the dues of being the weaker vessel. So if they're the weaker vessel, don't jump on them because they're weaker. They draw from your strength. A good man will delegate authority and responsibility. He respects freedom and dignity. And he keeps the reins sort of loose and let the woman run the house and the household and the children, and gives her and supports her and backs her up in everything that she says, because it's for certain that a woman's wisdom and intuition of raising the family and running the house is much better than a man. So when it comes to those things, he needs to listen. But if he's insecure, now this is the dysfunctional headship, well, someone is insecure. He's in a personal identity crisis. He thinks if he gives in to some of his authority or delegates it down, that it's a sign of his weakness. And he gets very defensive if he's asked or challenged by his wife, like Abraham challenged or Sarah challenged Abraham, because he didn't want to let this a bondwoman go. And Yahweh said, you hear what she said, Abraham. You turn her loose and get her out of here, because she will not inherit with your children. Do not try to bring two sets of children from another marriage into the equation. You're going to have arguments and trouble. If you marry someone that's got, that's had other children in a relationship, and they die, and you take on someone else, and then you treat those children different from your own children, remember, you're stepping on your wife's feelings, and she loves those children, and she's going to support them as much as she can without it interfering with her present household. She will not go beyond that line that's drawn in the sand to cause, and she shouldn't, to cause that individual or that husband that she's with problems through the other family. So don't be insecure. Remember, or jealous, maybe if the other husband comes around at sometimes, and don't get jealous about that. Because if she hadn't loved you, she wouldn't probably have married you and had your children. And so you can see that once you have self-identity, you're secure. And you understand, and you have the authority. And you actually view her challenging you at times as understanding that she's trying to help you make those decisions. Now, you have the final decision, the final responsibility. You have to answer to Yahweh. When Yahweh finds your house out of order, he comes first to headship. And then if they face trouble on down the line, he visits that. And that's the way Yahweh works. So keep a functional headship. And keep it proper, and don't get over here in the realm of dysfunctional headship. Keep that headship, the company, as a mighty bond of love and affection for your wife. Husbands, love your wives even as the Messiah loved his bride. And he took a bride, according to the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. And in the 19th chapter, you read where she's at. She's right by his side, where she ought to be. So, and you know, although he's the headship, you know he's not going to treat her evil, because no man that loves his own self is going to mistreat his own body, because the wife is his own body. So, now, notice the dysfunctional headship again. Dysfunctional headship, the man, requires compliance regardless of consent or agreement, when the proper headship would be willing cooperation placed on the values, works toward keeping peace and an open agreement and understanding and love in all things, given the
the dues to the wife. I'm telling you, you never know what it is to get up in the middle of the night and stay up all night while you're laying in there snoring when the wife's up taking care of the children and doctoring the children through the night. You know, they have to tend the baby. They have to nurse the baby. And they have to do those things. So it's hard enough just raising the children, let alone going and taking them to their appointments and seeing to the daily commitments of the home and having you a nice warm meal. And sometimes if it's not on the table, you know, you start with slamming the door and jumping in your car and running to Burger King and mulling and sullen and won't speak for a week just because you didn't get your meal when you thought you ought to have it. Well, it won't hurt you to get in there and fix your own meal sometimes. It really would make her appreciate and you recognize him. I found out real quick, and I had three children, and I was fasting. I had told my wife I was going on a fast, and she wanted me to clean the windows. And I told her, I said, no, I'm not going to clean the windows right now. And, of course, that's the man's job to keep up the home, and I always did that. But in this particular case, I'd already told her I was going to go on a 10-day fast. And she sort of got mad, and so she just got her a little stepladder and got out there outside, and she decided to clean them herself. And I hear her mumbling and complaining about what, of course, I was praying and fasting. And lo and behold, she fell, the little ladder fell out from under the stool that she was on. It was actually a kitchen stool. And she fell and broke her ankle. And by the time I went out, I heard her holler, and I went outside to get her. And when I picked her up and took her into the bedroom, of course, she couldn't walk, and laid her down, her foot was already swelled and was turning blue. And, oh, man, of course, we lived by faith at that time. And so she laid there, and here I am now, already pronounced a 10-day fast, and she's broke her ankle and can't walk. And she can't cook, she can't wait on the children. And I think it was the will of Yahweh for me to get me an education on waiting on the children. Just waiting on the children became something I'd never had to do. I had to cook for them, me fasting now. Had to cook for her. She couldn't get out of bed. And so here I am. I'm stuck for 10 days with the chores of doing what I did and then doing my wife's chores and then taking care of the children, making sure that they have their lunches packed for the next day and their clothes laid out and whatever they're going to wear. And, of course, I didn't even know how to load a washing machine. And, boy, I found out. I just had a more deeper appreciation for my darling wife who fell and broke her ankle, and it gave me the opportunity of trying to fill the role of a mother. And boy, it was hard on me. And it was the ninth day of my fast, and she hadn't asked me to pray for her. But finally she asked me, she said, well, are you going to pray for me? And I said, well, I didn't think you'd ever ask. Of course, at that time, I think it was the will of the Father for her not to ask to get me the education of what I got running a household in her place. And so I went back to get the oil, and so help me, this is the truth. And when I got the oil, I started into the bedroom. She was in our bedroom. And just as I hadn't even stepped into the room, but just as I started to step in, I heard something pop. And she sort of jumped. And she said, did you hear that? And I said, well, yes, I heard that. What was that? And she said, well, I don't know. But she said, I think I just got healed. Just my luck, you know, 9 days later. She couldn't got healed on the third day. But it was the ninth day. It was when I was fixing to begin my 10th day. And so help me, in 2 hours, her foot was back to normal. That was nothing like it. It never happened. And I never seen nothing like it in all of my life. That the Father, but I got me a valuable education. So be be cooperative. Appreciate your wife and things she does. When you're out of working and running around with the gang, I wanted to leave home because of the children so I could get to work, get some rest. Well, your wife don't get that. If she's working outside the home, she has to do everything that you don't do in regards to seeing the children are supplied and all these activities. And I didn't know that they required so much care until I had that experience. So, be open and be understanding. And that taught me a valuable lesson. Now, let me show you how a dysfunctional headship man would act toward his wife. He pushes and he manipulates. It's a one-man rule. It's my way or the highway. It's a ridged over, under position. And ladies and gentlemen, that ain't going to be no good. You're fixing to have trouble right there if that's the way you are. But the proper headship would be to lead, to attract, persuade, personal relationship, side by side, identification, love, long suffering, patience. And that's the key to proper headship. Yahweh wants you to be that way. And He don't want you to be bitter and envious against your wife. He wants you to love her like you love your own body, and He keeps telling you that. Can you see the Messiah? Now, He's got a wife according to the Bible. If you don't believe it, just go read it. He got her out of the first resurrection, and He took her to heaven with Him, and they went into the love chamber, and He must have loved her because He made love to her, and on the day of Pentecost, they got sons and daughters, and He's got them. That's you. But He wants you to act like Him. Can you see Him? Because when He come, let's say that he went out and He's got to water the earth and keep everything going. Let's say He come in from a hard day's work of His activities and minding the universe, let's say, and His wife didn't have Him anything fixed to eat. And He gets sold up and He jumps in His chariot and He rides over the heaven and He runs to Burger King and has it His way. That's not Him. He could fast for 40 days, we know that, and wait on you. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a unique experience to be married. I know that. And if you're out of joint, if the headship company is out of joint, you're going to have trouble. Paul warned you. He said, listen, there's nothing better for you if you can't contain yourself and you've got this burning desire. Well, go ahead and marry. You've not done anything wrong with your maiden there. But he said, I warn you, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. You see, unless those two twain is one flesh, and that's what the Messiah said in the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. That's a very strict chapter when he said, when he answered the Pharisees' question. So, you see, headship means a whole lot. Let me show you again what the man would say if he's out of headship, if he's dysfunctional, if he's improper. You must do what I say. Yours is not to wonder why. Yours is not to do or to die. That attitude. Now listen, I've got all this figured out, and you do it the way I said to do it. Well, there's so many things in the function of a woman's duties that a man has no understanding. He has to walk a mile in her moccasins. It wouldn't hurt you to wash the dishes every once in a while. You say, I'm too masculine to do that. That's her job. Well, it's your job to get out and earn the living. But let's say that you get laid up and sick and she takes a job. Well, what are you going to do then? See, that's the help meet. She's meeting your needs. And you should also try to help her because you know she's got a full-time schedule, especially if she works outside the home. You have everything fixed up real tidy for her, and it's no sin for a man to put on an apron and scrub a floor, or to wax the floor, or to do the laundry, or to wash the dishes, along with going out and trimming the hedge and mowing the yard. There's other things to do. Inside the house, go pick up the children at school. Carry them over to their appointments. I mean, that is a tremendous responsibility. So, notice this. don't say it's this way and there is no other way. Don't be so rigid. Be loving and kind and understand it. And say, come on, let's do it. We might have done it. We might not have done it, but we can try. We may not be successful, but we can try. So learn together, share together. And that's what builds a foundation underneath a marriage that will keep it in the stormy weather. And you're going to have, Paul said, I warn you, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. Because, you see, a man don't think like a woman, and a woman certainly doesn't think like a man. I found that out a long time ago. I said, where did this creature come from? What planet did she fall off of? We should go back. Well, you can't get that attitude. Adam made a commitment to Eve when she sinned and failed. And here's the devil's so crafty. He caught Adam out of town, so to speak, in the garden. He went around. And so the devil came in and he dealt with the weaker vessel here. And he knew that. He already knew that the woman was a weaker vessel. She's a byproduct of man. And so she took advantage. But when Yahweh gave Adam the choice, he said, Adam, here's the problem here. We brought this woman down here and she's messed up. And if she's introduced death, I have to curse her seed. And I'm going to have to curse Satan's seed. That's what he said in Genesis 3:14 and 15. But I'm going to tell you what it is. Now you haven't transgressed. The Bible said, 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Bible said Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in a transgression. So that means that Adam had a chance to leave her down here, to go back from where he came from, to return back to the other planet and let the devil and her seed wore it out. But he couldn't do that. He said, Yahweh, I named all the animals, I've done all this, and you know, I wasn't happy. Something was lacking, something psychological was missing in Adam. He longed for her. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's something inside you. If you don't have the right wife, if you're not under headship of the Creator, If she's not a star seed to be placed by your side as a soulmate, let's say, I'm telling you, when you ain't got that around, you're of all men most miserable. You don't want to do. I've seen men fall to pieces when their wife left them. I've gone and spent hours in counseling to reconcile marriages. It's something how a man will go to the dogs when a good woman leaves him after. You know, and most of the time it's a man's fault. I ain't saying it's all the time, but most of the time men like to drink, they like to booze it up, they like to party, they stay out too late. It's the nature of a man. You know, he takes everything he's got for granted, and when he builds it up, he's the first one that wants to destroy it. Well, Adam wasn't that way. He said, no, sir, Yahweh, I'm sticking with her. He said, what? You're going to stay with your woman? He said, yeah, she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And when she come here, I was so pleased. And I'm going to stay with her. But if you'll make me a promise, would you redeem me? Would you redeem me and her children? And Yahweh said, I'll swear unto you. And I will, because I can swear by no greater, I'll swear by myself that I will come and I will redeem you and your sins and her sins. That was good enough for Adam. He said, I'll stick it out down here. Boy, I mean, he put his hand to the tar, baby, and we've been stuck ever since. And that's the way it is. But don't get dysfunctional because you don't have the things going your way. It don't go your way all the time. I wish it did. Yahweh didn't promise Adam a bed of roses, and he certainly didn't have a bed of roses. He got the biggest bump in the road he'd ever been on. But he held on. He picked up the pieces, and he loved Eve. You know, it's recorded when Adam died. It's never recorded when Eve died. But how much you want to bet if she was still living, she's right by his side? I guarantee it. And, of course, if she died before he did, I guarantee you, with that deep bond of love, that was his wife, made from glory, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, And he was not content when she wasn't here. He got problems when she did. That's why she's called Woe Man. However, man brings most of the sorrows in the family now, 90%. And the statistics will bear this out, that I'm telling you. 90% of the trouble in the homes is caused by the man and him going out and sowing his wild oats or chasing some other woman or, you know, because when his wife gets pregnant and she can't perform for him and he's not willing to wait, just like most people are so impatient. Men are in the dysfunctional headship. You've got to learn to be patient. Adam was patient. Have you ever read the story in the Bible about Abigail, David's wife? Have you ever wondered when you read about that David married Abigail, where she came from? Did you know that she came from a dysfunctional headship? That her husband, Nabal, he was so caught up in himself and so caught up in his riches. David was a rebel. He was on the run from Saul. And he had gathered a little ragtag army, and it tells you exactly what kind of army David had. It was people that owed taxes. Boy, I guess David could get an army down here in the United States right now because a lot of people owe taxes. And it's people that were on the run from the government. Now, we're talking about the government of Israel here. Saul's government. But Nabal, David asked Nabal a favor. He's seen that Nabal was a prosperous man, and David and his soldiers were doing guard duty out in the country. They were guarding Nabal's property and other properties and the community farmers and assisting them and being an army for them and a guard and a police force. And David needed some food. And so he asked Nabal to send him up some food or let his soldiers come down and get it. And Nabal said, "Get yours like I got mine, son. Work for it. You ain't get nothing, you rebel." Well, David told his warriors right then, after he found out Nabal was such a hard-hearted person, he said, "Gird up your swords," and he mounted up. Well, here's Abigail. Oh, Nabal was having a big party, and he had passed out on the wine, and Abigail knew that Nabal and the people, the family, was going to be in trouble with David. David was going to come down there, and David said, "I'm going to come and kill everything on that farm that actually pisses against the law." In other words, that was every man. Every man, every male of Nabal's household and all of his servants were going to be slaughtered by David, and he was on his way to do it. Well, Abigail, being the virtuous woman that she was, she loaded up the provision. She fixed raisin cakes and baked bread, and she got supplies out of the garden and vegetables and things, and she loaded up a great train of supplies, and she headed out to meet David, and she met him a-coming. And she got off of her little donkey, and she bowed before David, and she said, "Master, I want to present you this food. My husband don't know what he's doing. He's heady and high-minded, and he's envious and bitter against you. He don't understand the situation here. And so I have brought all this food for you and your men. Go in peace." And David said to that woman, he looked at her and he said, "Woman, I was coming down here to kill every male in your family. But since you are so gracious and Yahweh has given you a heart of sensitivity to my needs, I am going to spare your family." And he turned back and took the food and turned back. Well, did you know that just after that happened, that Yahweh turned Nabal's heart into stone? Did you know that when you get so bitter and envious and resentful against the charity work of the headship company, that Yahweh could turn your heart to stone, and you could, anytime you carry a grudge, Anytime you've got bitter resentment in your heart, it puffs you up in the flesh, and it creates a poison that pumps through your heart. And eventually, these things will kill you. Guilt, anything that you harbor inside, anger, resentment. So don't be bitter in your headship. Be a loving and kind and a generous and a patient man. You don't have to show your manhood. David was an humble man. He got down and wept many times when he was corrected or when he was in trouble. He humbled himself. He was a headship man. And did you know that as soon as Yahweh killed Nabal, that David inquired about Abigail, and he said, "I'd like to have you for a wife. You have demonstrated to me that you've got the qualities of a wife." So, get it right. Be patient, be loving, and be kind, and be motivated. Now, notice again that the wrong hits you. You're always generating friction. You're always wanting to fuss. You're always wanting to criticize. You always got something wrong with your wife or something wrong in the family. You blame everything that goes wrong on her. You got resentment like old Nabal did. You separate and you isolate people. You divide the household. That's dysfunctional. That's the world's way. But if you're in headship with Yahweh, you actually generate acceptance, cooperation, reconciliation. You unite instead of divide. You help people in your family to relate to each other. You are the king that makes the decisions, like Solomon. When the two women came up and each claimed a baby, the baby at that time, Solomon, with his wisdom, he said, "Okay, well, just give me a sword and I'll divide the baby and you can have half and the other can have half." Well, he knew that the real mother would say, "Oh, no, let her keep the baby to spare its life." Well, just as soon as she said that, Solomon gave the baby to the one and said, "Let her have it," because he knew it belonged to the mother. So, you see, love will shine through by your deeds and by your actions. Do not generate friction through your resistance and resentment. Don't isolate yourself and make yourself up above or put yourself on a pedestal. You're the only one up there. Your wife certainly don't respect you. If you're going to get respect from your wife, you put your feet on the ground, and if there comes a time that you need to cry in front of your wife, you cry. If there's a time that you need to humble down and sit down and spend a little time in a coloring book with your children, you do that. If there's a time that you need to teach your young sons how to make a slingshot, or you put the old fishing pole on, I don't care what ball game's on or whatever it is, and you want to go down and lollygag around at the bar. As most men spend more time at the bar drinking Jack Daniels or whatever, or Who Shot Sam, and telling war stories and bragging about how they're the boss at their house, glory to God. You know, there's some men that stays at the bar and they're scared to death to go home because they're going to catch hell when they get there. And so they get drunk enough to beat up on their wives when they get home. And see, that's the wrong thing to do. You come home humble. You come home and apologize that you shouldn't have been at the bar to start with. Come out of them places. You get cleaned up and get the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to generate the friction that these things are going to cause. You're going to motivate people. You're going to be there to teach your children. You're an example. So if you spend your time at the bars or on the golf course or whatever you're doing, praise Yahweh, you need to take stock that you've got a home and you've got children, if you have. Or you've got a wife that needs you to be there to be headship and to look up to. So lead by example rather than command and threats. You know, "Well, I tell you, you do this, sister, I'm head here." Everybody says, "I'm the head." Well, no, you're not. Yahweh's the head. And Yahweh don't treat his woman like that. And so he ain't going to treat you shouldn't treat yours like that. And if you're too sorry to get off your duff and do something in the house concerning things that you need to do. You know, used to men went out and hunted all the animals, and they brought home that's where the old saying, brought home the bacon. And yet now, it's a woman's responsibility to go home and go out and get it, because she has to go to the grocery store. I'm telling you, I'm so dumb about grocery shopping that I don't know one aisle from another. I can't find literally nothing in a grocery store. Because my loving wife, she goes to the grocery store. But I didn't know what kind of a chore it was till I had to go. Man, especially if she wants to use those money-saving coupons and try and save you money. And you know, your wife comes home maybe 2 hours at the grocery store, and you thought she ought to have been done in an hour, and she's used about $25 or $30 worth of coupons that she had to go through and help you. And you come home and jump on her because she was 2 hours at the grocery store, and she saved you $25, and you're not appreciative of that. You see, that you're insensitive. Here she's trying to help you. My poor little wife, she's got a box of coupons, and she goes to the store, and it seems like that. The kingdom's going to come before she ever gets back from the grocery store. However, I know that I've been there, and I can't find diddly squat. She'll give me a grocery list at sometimes. Maybe she's not sick. She's sick and not feeling good or something. Something like that happened. You just got to go get something. And they delegate that and put it on you. You don't even know where to go. I don't know what doctor's office to take the children to. I don't know. I don't know where the high school is or the grade school is, and I don't know what appointments. I don't know who the teacher is and that's teaching my children and things like that. That's things you ought to know. And if you don't know those things, shame on you. You ought to know. So lead by example with understanding and kindness. Set a good example. Be merciful. Be patient with your wife. Now I'm going to give you the last of the commandments of the dysfunctional and the functional headship. Now, these are the ten that I'm going to give you. Then I'm going to give you the commands of Yahweh and show you that it locks right in, lockstep with what Yahweh committed. So, here's a dysfunctional man. He asks others to do things he wouldn't do.
You clean that mess up over there.
Well, what's wrong with you? You know, you've got a backbone. Bend it and get out and,
I need a piece of bread. You go get it for me.
Well, if it's a loving wife, she'll bring it right to you. Most of the time. And that's a problem. You get spoiled. And when she's not there to do that, you get ticked off. Well, see, that's a spoiled child. Just like a little child. You can spoil a little child. So get up every once in a while and do something for yourself. Get off your sorry duff and turn the TV off. The ball games off, or the races off, or whatever you're involved in, or shining your golf clubs, or whatever you're doing, quit doing that and get off your duff and go get your own cup of coffee or get your own glass of tea. Oh, it's amazing how spoiled men are. And sometimes women are very good at spoiling them, and then they want to fuss because these things happen. Don't spoil your husband. Share equally and make him do things. Let him lead by example. You follow him. Because if he follows you, both of you go into the ditch. You follow him, but make him lead by example. And don't let him tell others, yourself included, to do things that he ain't going to do. Ask him if he'll do it. Will he clean up a mess that some little child is messing his diaper? Will he go clean it? Will he wash the child? Will he stay with the child in a bathtub of water at 3 o'clock in the morning while you've got your child cooling down in the bathtub, bringing ice and bringing mama's remedies? Do you know how to do that? You ought to. You should be gentle as a mother. A man should be as gentle as his mother to his children. And they'll love you for that. And they'll cling to you. So, a good man will only ask others to do those things that he has already done with an example, just like your Messiah. Your Messiah is an example. Now, the highest allegiance that a man can have, except to the Creator, is to the wife. That's the highest allegiance he has on the earth. your wife should be your best friend. She should be your confidant. You should be able to talk anything and everything over with her. You should predetermine it. Don't pull no surprises on her. Let everything be done in decency and order. And like I say, how often does the husband honor his blood family over his own wife? You should not to do that. You don't go out and say, well, I'm going over to Dad's. When you get a little milked off and you go over to Dad's and Mom's and you bellyache about your wife and what she won't mind you. And really, when it comes down, you ain't supposed to do that. That's bringing your blood relationship and bringing it into your personal home. And you're not to do that. A man won't do that. In-law problems are often the result of a husband who allows his mother and father to interfere with a relationship with his wife. Don't let your mom and dad come between you and your wife. That the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. Not every time that he don't agree with his wife, he runs back to mom and dad and six mom and dad. And see, they're going to take up with their son, or vice versa in this case. But in this case, it's the man's responsibility to be a man. Don't run like a little whining baby and say, well, she won't do this and she won't do that. Tell your wife how important and how valuable she is to you. And I'm telling you, if she sticks with you in this truth that we're in, oh man, you've got somebody awesome that'll hang with you. If you've got a wife that'll hang, no, you don't know how blessed you are, because I know. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. That's what the Bible tells you to do, to let your wife know how important and how valuable she is to your life. She is actually, you know, most homes have been destroyed by a man's inability to communicate and to show his love and appreciation for his wife. Proverbs 31:10-11 is that a husband should honor his wife. Honor his wife. That means give her, don't be selfish. Selfishness is a marriage killer. Many men think that they're better than their wife simply because they're men. Men have made a serious judgment error when they get to that line of thinking, just like Nabob. You don't want to get there, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want it to go to that point that told Yahweh has to step in and correct you. You need to work at your marriage. You need to say, I take my marriage seriously. You need to understand. Did you know there was a movie one time about this situation really was in a movie setting, and this man got on the radio and he told how his wife had just deceased. She got killed in an automobile accident. And they were interviewing him and how tragic it was. And he said, I don't want to talk about that. He said, I want to talk about the good things that I remember about my wife. And he said, well, what would you like to talk about? He said, how many hours have you got? We ought to remember the good things of our wife. We ought to see, the Bible said her husband sits in the gate and praises her daily. In other words, he talks about it. I notice men, when they bring up their wife about every other sentence, that means that there's a good relationship going on there. But if they never talk about them, if it's bitter and envying, and when they do, it's always something negative, there's going to be trouble. Thou shalt hold thy wife's love by the same means that you want it. Remember I said that to start with? Song of Solomon, listen to me right here. Chapter 5, verse 10 through 16, I'll tell you about a man's love for his woman. You ought to hold her in high esteem, just like when you courted her, like you were in love with her. What happened to that? When she got pregnant and she had that little snotty-nosed kid running around that belongs to you, and you know, they're crying and screaming and you can't get no peace and you head for the bar. You head for the golf course. You head for the fishing hole. That ain't what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get in there, wipe that nose, clean that little butt, and be there because they're yours. Get in there and help her. You shall establish family discipline with your wife's help. 2 Timothy 3:15, Ephesians chapter 6 and 4, and Deuteronomy 6 and 6. And you don't want to go there, ladies and gentlemen. That's a hard saying for men. Those three scriptures will tell you that you've got to share equally in the marriage, and all responsibilities ends at headship, at you. So you're responsible. If your wife's out of order, it's not her, it's you. You live by example, and if you're living a godly example, then you know for sure that she's not following you, then you have a right to come down on her and rid her the riot act. But you remember how the Bible says that the wives was to be patient and win their husbands through their conversation if they weren't believers? The same thing applies to a man. You know, it's something for you to think about. Thou shalt remember to do all the little things for your wife when you say you will. That is Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Now remember that. Don't make her promises you don't live up to. She's emotional. She's going to remember them to the day she dies. You just took it as an idle thing, and she won't care. Let your words be yes or no. When you tell her to do something, she can bank on what you said. If you're wishy-washy, she'll pick that up. She knows you by your fruits. If you're a man that's going to make decisions and she knows that she can count on you, and you're going to be there when the heat's on, and you're going to be there when the heat's off, you can take it. I don't care what comes your way. That's what a woman likes to see in a man. His shoulders are big enough to carry and take care of the world and the evils that's outside. You're her security. When a wife feels insecure, the husband is not being a spiritual leader in that household. When a wife takes matters into her own hands and assumes the leadership role, the husband has allowed problems to continue and get worse. When the children rebel and the wife blames her husband, the husband has not supported his wife in disciplining the children. When the wife becomes resentful of financial pressures, the husband has been spending extra money on things that he enjoys rather than what the family needs. There's a lot of men that like their toys. And then her wife has to suffer and try to make do what they've got. You be a provider. You make sure that the home is supplied before you ever buy a toy. Before you ever spend one dime in your budget, you talk it over your wife. And if the family and the household needs that object better than you need whatever. And man's got so many toys he likes. Let's say a new motorcycle, and you've got two cars sitting in the driveway, and both of them's got payments on it, and you've seen your neighbor ride down the street in a big Harley, and you got to have one. No, you can ride a bicycle. If you don't get out, you'd probably get more exercise. If you don't, it'd probably be a lot safer. So notice, when the wife feels inferior and jealous, the husband praises or admires other women. He's always talking about other women instead of his wife. That's when she gets insecure and jealous. Praise your wife at the gate. That's what Proverbs 31 and 10 was talking about. When the wife feels unable to totally give herself, body, soul, and spirit to her husband, the husband only verbalizes his love when he wants a physical relationship. That's the only time he wants to talk good to his wife is when he wants to get it on. Well, that's when a woman is going to emotionally get it off, because she ain't made like that. And you got to understand, first rule of a man, if he wants a woman to be loving and kind, that he does things to remember that she don't even think about him remembering, and little things that he does. like take the children out and pull them in a wagon. A wife that sees a husband out, instead of him going off with the boys and having a big time, he's got his children out there playing with them and teaching them how to, like I say, how to make a slingshot or how to look at a bird's nest. And because the children are curious. They like to look up in a bird nest. My little granddaughter brought a little egg and it fell out of the bird's nest today, and she's got it right now in her room because I couldn't find the bird nest to put it back. But she's hoping. She said, "I'm going to be a mummy." She said, "I'm going to raise this little bird." And she said, "I hope it's a red bird or a blue bird." And she said, "I don't want a woodpecker because woodpeckers are mean," she said. And I thought that was so cute. Teach that little child those things, and it's valuable. Well, I got to close and get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. My time is coming on, and I've been so glad to be with you tonight. Many blessings to you around the radio network. Yahweh's Riches Kingdom. Headship Company blessings be to you and to those that love Him. Don't you know that Yahweh loves you? Don't you know that He laid down His life for His bride? And don't you know if you love yours like that, that she'll respect you, and she'll be secure, and she'll be safe, and you won't have any problems in your home if you're a man of Yahweh. If you're not a man of Yahweh, you're going to come short. And you don't want to do that. You want to measure up as a man. Stand on your own feet and be able to look your neighbor in the eye. And if you've done him wrong, you cross the fence with a tear in the eye. And you say, "Brother, I'm sorry." Let's go to an altar. Let's find us a place to pray. If you have an altar against your brother before the sun down comes down, you make it right. If you have an altar against your wife, don't go to bed mad and sleep in the other room. Your wife don't slam the door on you. Make your husband be a man. Make him stand up and be a man. He'll appreciate you as a woman. And you don't go to the mountain. That's a headship. You'll no be no stranger to the rain. Ladies and gentlemen, your relationship depends on the quality that you put in it, not what you take out of it. Because you ain't going to get no more out of it than what you put in it. And if you put good stuff in, good stuff comes out. If you put haphazard, lukewarm stuff in, that's what's going to come out of your relationship with your wife. Love your wife even as the Messiah. Love is simple. And everything will work out. Well, you can call me tonight. I'm live. Here on WWRB 3.185, Clear Channel around the world, and also simulcast on live streaming internet. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. And you can write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 378-24. You can go to our website, like I said tonight, and if you'd like to do that, just go. And that's oneyahweh.com. And you can have this message and the other messages that are up there posted live about a month. You can get them right tonight. I love you. I'll see you Monday night around the world live on WWRB 3.185. It's a transmitting jewel of the South. It's one of a kind. It's a diamond in the rough right here in Central Tennessee. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you Monday night at 9 Eastern Standard Time.